You're listening to the podcast of Williamsburg Christian Church, a community of faith joining God's pursuit of restoring lives. We hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
So if you're visiting with us today, we are going to do something a little different. Today we have to talk as a church family, and so if you're visiting, we invite you into the conversation. But there are things that we have to discuss here as a family that concern Williamsburg Christian Church, that concern us as a church as to whether or not we're going to truly have a discipling culture, that concerns us as a church as to whether or not we're truly going to learn what it means to live on mission with God, or as Jesus would say, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So over this last weekend, we completed a two-year journey with a group called Mission Alive that I also work with. If you don't know who they are, that's fine. But what we did was we brought our Life Connection group leaders and our shepherds and staff into a two-year journey of understanding what it means to live on mission with God and to get into the theology and practice of the Christian life. And yesterday, well, over the last several months, and for me personally, over the last and staff, I should say, too, over the last couple of years, we felt a burden for our church. And it was affirmed and confirmed by about 30 of our family here who are leaders in the church. We have wondered for a long time if we really are a prayerful people. And here's what I mean by that. I don't mean, are we individual people who pray? The question is, as a church, as a community of faith, as a family of God that we call, and that God gave birth to, called Williamsburg Christian Church, the question is, are we a prayerful people, prayerful community? And for the last couple of years, we just haven't felt that we are. And there's been symptoms of that. So if you're thinking, well, Fred, I pray. Well, praise God that you pray. I pray too. But that's not the question at hand. The question at hand is, do we ever gather? Do we ever come together and pray? And we may sometimes wonder what the point of that would be. And I get that because, you know, we live in a culture that values individualism. And we live in a Christian culture at times, particularly a subculture of Christianity, that values the personal relationship with Jesus. And I am for that, obviously. But in our overvaluation, I think, of individualism and personal relationship with God, we have found ourselves inadvertently disconnecting ourselves from the communal relationship that a people have with God. The Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had a relationship with the people called Israel, not just persons in Israel. For God, he's big enough to be both and. For us, we oftentimes can't imagine a God who is big enough to be both and. It becomes an either-or proposition. And I wonder sometimes if in our overvaluation of the personal, we neglect the communal. And so we say, well, I'm a person that prays, but we don't pray together as brothers and sisters, as families. I imagine a family coming to a family crisis, and it's a family crisis that affects the whole family, the sons and the daughters and the mother and the father. And the son won't just go to the mother and father and oftentimes try and solve the problem and find the problem solved. What inevitably has to happen in conflict resolution and familial systems and families is that the family has to come together around the problem. It's not good enough just for the individuals to go to the sources themselves. I think communal prayer is that way. I think there are times and there are crises and there are moments and there are moments when there are no crises, that we have to come together as a people of prayer. Now, I have a confession to make to you because it's only right that I do this. And it lines with some of our Life Connection group leaders and shepherds and staff's sort of convictions. I have no problem gathering with the staff and the shepherds to pray. I have no problem gathering with you to pray. I have no problem praying with God and talking with God and communing with God as I go. I read a book years ago called Practicing the Presence of God. If you've read that book, then you'll know that I was learning what it meant to have a continual relationship of prayer. So I pray to God. I talk with God while I drive. Now, let me be very clear. I don't close my eyes. All right, the two car accidents I've been in over the last 2 years was me sitting at a red light. All right, I wasn't doing anything but sitting there. All right, maybe they were praying with their eyes closed. I don't know. Or texting or updating their status. But and I pray as I walk. In all honesty, in a lot of ways, I multitask with God. And I got to thinking a lot about that, and that's been something that's been on my heart. What I struggle to do is sitting down in intentionality and removing all the distractions. And I fail to just be with God in prayer in that moment without my phone or without my laptop open or without driving or without trying to multitask. And I feel like God has been convicting me more and more to be a man who just sits with Him. And so with all of my theological convictions on a theology of hospitality, and you all know this, and the idea of us making room for one another in our lives, the one thing I realized in my own personal hypocrisy, and I'll go so far as to call it that, is that I wasn't demonstrating hospitality to God. I wasn't making room in my life for God's presence. I'll make room in my life for your presence, but I wasn't doing it for God. And I think God was saying, hey, kid, welcome me in. Just me and you. And it really, my wife's love language is quality time. And if I multitasked with Allison and we talked, we would still talk and be married. But truly, if we're going to have communion and community, we got to have communication. And it's going to have to be intentional. And if I don't sit down and just be present with my wife and just listen to her and talk with her, then something is missing in our marriage. And I think in the same way, it works with our relationships with God. So I'm not going to come at you saying that I've got some grand idea because I struggle to make the time. But here's what I've learned about time. And I really hope I have your attention on this statement, because this is something one of our Life Connection group leaders said. We all have the time. The problem is we've committed it elsewhere. Think about that. We all have the time. We've just committed it somewhere else. And so the idea of coming together with brothers and sisters, with family that I'm going to need in crisis in my life, the idea of just coming together to come around a place and a space together to say that this moment is going to be a sacred moment with family in Christ, and where we're going to just call on the name of the Lord and we're going to pray, the idea of taking time to do that in an hour that's inconvenient just becomes too much for me to do because it's too much for you to ask of me. And so what fails to happen is we don't become a people who pray. We don't become a people of prayer. We're individual people that pray. But God didn't ask us to be individual people that pray only. He asked His people to be a people of prayer. A bunch of kids who come to the Father. A bunch of sons and daughters of the King who come to speak on behalf of the Father who is the King to the family, who comes to approach our kingly Father together. And I started thinking, as a church, we have concerts of prayer on Sunday nights and maybe 3 to 5 people show up. We have a family empowerment event for all of those who have children. And it's an event that our ministry leaders, our family ministry leaders, our children's minister, Aaron, and our family minister, Garrett, organize and design to teach families how to pray with their kids, and only 5 families show up. We set up the worship center for Good Friday prayer, and only 3 people show up. We have an organized prayer gathering called First Fruits every Tuesday and Thursday morning, and the same 4 men have been the only ones to show up at 6:30. Families in our church receive an email from our children's minister, Aaron, where our seniors are asking if they can pray for our kids. And we send an email out to all of us who have children to fill out a little form and send it back so that we can partner in prayer with our seniors. And no one responds with 3 emails. And there are just these sort of signs and these symptoms that make us wonder if, number one, is prayer really as important to us as maybe it ought to be? And certainly there's evidence that communal prayer is not as important to us. And here's the deal. We're not comfortable with silence. In sales, when I was a business executive, we used to have a rule as we were trying to close the deal that the first one who speaks loses. And the idea was that we create the awkward silence. But there's nothing about our culture that's comfortable with silence. We can't stay off our phones. We can't not play underlaid music as we do things together. We struggle to sit quietly with one another. And so no wonder we struggle to sit quietly with the Lord. And we can say that it's a lot of things. OCD, Tourette's, have both. ADHD, all these different things. And the thing that sometimes we fail to remember is that the God of heaven and earth has been spending quiet times with his people for thousands of years. We're really no different. It's just a posture of hearts often are. And so if we say we don't have time, we're probably right, because we've committed that time somewhere else. We've committed that time to staying at home and watching the movie. We've committed that time to the 17 sports activities our kids have going on. We've committed that time to the notion that I work 6 days a week, and this is the one day that I have. And I think what we fail to see is that we then leave an opportunity on the table to gather with the people we'll spend eternity with, to gather with the people that we're in the trenches of life with, supposed to be, and gather with the God of heaven and earth who wants us to speak with him and who may have something to say to us. And as I listen to Robin pray, God may use her to speak to me, even in that prayer. Do you see that? Do you understand that? I think that happens. There have been times where somebody beside me prayed, and I was like, those are the words I wanted to say. I never had the words until now. And I learned that when I pray with my brother Danny. We have a rhythm of prayer in the church that allows us to embrace the ongoing way of prayer, where Mondays and Fridays, our seniors pray for 30 minutes around the lunch hour around very specific needs, and they are inviting us to join them in prayer. Here's the truth. Our seniors are leading us in the presence and in the practice of prayer. Now, I want you to do me a favor and just kind of see the extreme. Our seniors are leading us in the presence and practice of prayer, but our families are too busy to be prayed by our seniors because we won't respond to an invitation to receive prayer. And therein lies the great gulf of the generations. And so we could do a lot of things. We could go as business as normal, but our Life Connection Group leaders and our shepherds and our staff decided that everything stops today for us in this gathering. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray together in an open mic kind of prayer. In other words, this mic's going to be here. And if you want to lead a prayer, say a prayer. Not just lead a prayer. If you want to say a prayer, offer a prayer, then you can take the mic and do so. I'll give you the mic to do so. Because people of God pray. The people of God pray. And they always have. In the book of Acts, in chapter 2, we read in verse 41 that those who accepted the message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to the community of God, to the new humanity of God, to the kingdom of God. And listen, in verse 42, it says they devoted themselves. And now the word devoted in the Greek, it literally means devoted. Like it means committed. It means all in. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And then when you read the book of Acts, you read that they didn't have just one prayer leader. There were times where the church gathered and they just a groundswell, to use Paul's word, a groundswell of prayer began to surface to the top and people began to pray. And if you read in the book of Acts, here's the beautiful thing, is that the moment at the end of those communal prayers of the gathered people of God calling upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit did something. He just seemed to move in a way that was unique to the people and to the moment. And I wonder how many of us need a move of the Spirit of God in our lives, but we never gather with the people of God to pray. And yet Jesus, I think he's meant something when he say, where two or three are gathered in my name, what did he say? There I am. And I think there's a reason why Jesus said two or three and not just you. He's already made it clear that individually we're filled with his Holy Spirit. But I think what he wants us to understand is that God is three in one. He's triune. He's triune God, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. In himself, in his perfect oneness and presence, he is community. And we are created for community too. So what we want to do is we want to go ahead and make time for prayer. And we're going to do this from time to time. So if you're uncomfortable with it, I apologize. But this is what the people of God have done for 2,000 years. We are stepping into the stream of history that is as biblical as it can possibly be, where the people of God would gather, man, women, and child, and call upon the name of the Lord together and utter prayers together in whatever groundswell sort of way that they felt the need to pray. Because the reality of it is, church, concerts of prayer never are joined. Nobody responds to invitations of prayer in our church very often. Spaces of prayer for Good Fridays are not embraced. We're just not sure, as servants and leaders to you, that we're a people of prayer. And we have to become a people of prayer. Because prayer is the greatest work we do. It is. I can't change your heart, but I can fight for your heart. Does that make sense? I can fight for your heart in prayer. I may be the only person on planet Earth that's praying for my friend because that friend has nobody else to pray for. And then when I invite you in to pray for my friend, we may be the only people in all of the earth to pray for that person. I envision God going, I've been wanting to hear that kid's name, but my people just haven't brought his name to me. And there's power when we all bring the name. So I think we need to make space for prayer. So what we're going to do is we're going to offer prayers just for the church, for Williamsburg Christian Church, and then we're going to close with offering prayers for the city and the world. I'm not going to be an insular people who just think about ourselves, but we do have to tend to ourselves first because the Life Connection Group leaders and the shepherds all realized that we have to pray first. It starts with us. And so, church, it starts with us. So I'm going to open us up in prayer in a few moments, and then I'm going to invite you to pray. I'll bring the mic to you if you want, or you can come to the mic. And we're going to pray for the church, for those in our family who are gathered with us today, maybe for the first time, for those in our family who are struggling with loss and death and sickness, all the different things going on, for the orphans that we're building this orphanage for the kids whose heads will literally lay on these pillows, for our friends in need among us, we'll pray. But before we do, I want to just have a few moments of silence. So I want to ask you to be silent. Be silent before the Lord. Be silent with yourself. And if you feel the need to confess your weakness to give your life to prayer, then please do so as some of us did in first gathering. So just a few moments of silence. Come, Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Heavenly Father, come. Be present among us and have your way with us. Speak to our hearts. Speak to this body, to this church. Not merely to us as individuals, but to us as a family too. You see inside every thought, and you know every word before we utter them. But yet, as our Father, you want us to come to you. You want us to sit with you, to turn our hearts to you. In the midst of silence, you want us to just sit still and abide in you. Father, forgive me, as I have asked you before, And I know I need not ask you again. But yet I know that my tendency is to just go, go, go. So Father, help me. Help me to listen to your impulses of your spirit inside of me when you ask me to stop and pray, to talk with you or to listen. And help me to do that. Use your people to help me to do that. In a way, God, I guess I'm asking, do what you need to do to me. Help me to do that. Father, we confess our sin. We ask that you forgive us. For giving our time away so many times, so freely, that we have no time for you, and we have no time for your people, and we have no time to come together as a family, as your people, to talk with you. Forgive us for our selfishness, to think that you don't want to hear from all of us, that you only want to hear from me. So Father, we ask, as the disciples asked our Lord, teach us at Williamsburg Christian Church how to pray as a community, as a people.